Well, hello, this is Ron Belter, President and General Manager of Sacred Hearts Radio. This is a special interview to discuss some of the recent events that have taken place here in Washington State. To discuss the matter, we have Archbishop Paul Agin from the Archdiocese of Seattle. Thank you for taking the time from your busy schedule to be with us today, Archbishop.
Sure, Ron. Good to have this opportunity with you.
Well, many big things are happening in the church today. We've had the recent passing of Pope Francis, all the papal coverage, and at the time of this recording, they actually just had ballot one of day one of the conclave has just started. So that's where we are in the timing of this recording. But here locally in the state of Washington, Archbishop, many of us might not be plugged in or pay attention to the things that take place in Olympia, but big news is Governor Ferguson signed into law SB 5375, which threatens the seal of confession. Can you please tell our listeners what has transpired over the past 3 years with this bill and how did we get here?
Sure. Well, it's my understanding that this bill surfaced as a direct response to a story that was written by Investigate West in October of 2022 about the cover-up of reporting of abuse within the Jehovah's Witness Church. And Senator Frame, I believe, was the sponsor of the bill in all three sessions, beginning in 2023. So it's well-intentioned of wanting the clergy to be mandated to report abuse of minors when they are made aware of that information. And where the bill failed over the last 2 years was on the type of amended language or exemption language that would properly protect the seal of the sacrament of what we call confession or the sacrament of reconciliation. And because in the two sessions prior to this year, they were unable to reach a exemption language that everyone could be comfortable with, the bill failed. Well, this year, the bill was introduced with no exemption for clergy language, including the seal of the sacrament. And it made it through the Senate. The House is the one that kept approving it in previous years. And I think the legislators basically got tired of trying to find language that worked and passed a bill that I would think they knew would probably not stand up the legal challenge. And the governor, as we know now, signed that bill into law.
So this is a state where this zombie bill, it kept dying and dying and finally came back. It just never wanted to die. With the changes they made in the not having the exemption, do you see this as an attack against the Catholic Church?
No. I think fundamentally, as I say, it was well-intentioned in its origins. And I think for many of the legislators, well-intentioned even in its final form. They, as the church, want to protect minors. We want to close any possibility of people withholding information when they become aware of it. But it's always understood that the sacramental seal is inviolable. And that was just the breaking point. So I think it was a well-intentioned bill that just had a very unfortunate and overreaching ending.
Through smoke and mirrors and a little changing of language, it morphed into something that they did not intend originally.
Well, I don't think it's even smoke and mirrors. Everybody knew the language.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, and our state Catholic Conference and the bishops have been working with the legislators over these last 3 years to find a language that everyone could live with. But in the end, those conversations failed to reach an amicable language, and the bill got passed in its present state.
Oh, I see. I understand that priests are already mandatory reporters, so how is this different?
It's not different in the sense, I think all three dioceses in the state of Washington have had a policy in place for decades that require our priests and all of our other employees and volunteers that work with youth to report abuse when they become aware of it. What's different is now the state is saying that even when that information is gained within the seal of the sacrament, that we also have an obligation now to report that. That's the difference. The state is forcing priests to choose between state law and church law, and it doesn't need to be that way. The Catholic Church is committed to the protection of children. And we have decades of policy and practice to prove that. The state, in the end, proved that they were not willing to craft a bill that respected the separation of church and state, that kept the state from intruding into the practice of the Catholic practice of sacrament of reconciliation. And that's why we're at this very sensitive and alarming moment.
Sure. Here in Washington State, other dioceses across the country have been, actually, because we've been actively involved with this since 1986, not just since the Boston Globe 2001 right. episode. We've been working with this for a long time. So this is nothing new to us. Many, many dioceses have turned to us and asking, how have you guys been doing it?
Right. No, I'm very, very pleased that the Archdiocese, as you just said, since 1986, began addressing this in very impactful ways. And I think that's as clear a demonstration of our desire to protect children, to work with law enforcement, to take appropriate actions with abusive players, whether they be priests or lay people. We've got a strong track record, and the Catholic Church and the Archdiocese of Seattle is very different today from what it was 40, 30, or 20 years ago. And I think our schools and parishes and institutions are some of the safest places for young people in our society today.
Now that we have this lack of exemption for the priests within the Sacrament of Reconciliation, does this actually inject the state into church life? And is this now become a First Amendment issue where there's a free exercise of religion?
Yes, that's the question. And my assessment is the state has intruded now into the practice of our faith. They have intruded into the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And Ron, if I could, I want to call up a quote from Pope Francis from 2019. And I don't recall the moment in which he said this.
Oh, please.
But he reinforced the sanctity of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And he said, no human power has jurisdiction over it, nor can it claim it. And our own U.S. Constitution, First Amendment, the state cannot intrude into the practice of religion. And that's exactly what's happened here. So, yes, this is a clear First Amendment issue. And it's also a matter of privileged communications and double standards. This law now clearly calls out clergy as no longer benefiting from the privileged communication while leaving all of the others in place, such as spouses, doctor, patient, attorney, client. So you've got both the First Amendment issue and the privileged communications double standard. It's a problematic law. It just can't stand. It needs to be walked back.
Well, I can understand how this can not only be problematic. This is probably do you recall any other states across the country that have had this happen to them where the state has interjected themselves into the faith in this way?
I think there are five other states in the country that require clergy to be mandatory reporters that also includes the seal of the sacrament. It's my understanding that while the law is on the books, no one has ever tried to enforce it. Mm-hmm. And that's another very problematic part of this type of a law is it's unimaginable how the state would even go about enforcing it when a lot of confessions are made anonymously.
Yes.
The priest never sees the person coming to make a confession. So how would they know who to report in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're ever going to even consider doing that. But it's problematic on a number of levels.
Sure, sure. Well, I think others have noticed the problematic situation that arises from this taking place. And the Attorney General for the United States, Pam Bondi, and the Justice Department has stepped in. What are we looking for them to do? They recognize this.
Well, I'm glad that they recognize the problematic nature of the law and that they have clearly signaled they're going to conduct their own investigation. I think that certainly adds heft to my argument that this law can't stand. It needs to be revised to respect the constitutional amendment of freedom of religion. And I say all of this, Ron, again, I just can't say it enough. The church wants to protect children.
Oh, amen.
That is not the issue here. We are all in on making our places safer for minors and vulnerable people. We are all in, and our track record for the past few decades indicates that. Our issue is this First Amendment issue and the privileged communication that needs to continue to be respected by the state.
Amen. And with that in mind, going back to the Justice Department, are we asking them to actually like do an injunction? Is that what it's called?
We're not asking the Justice Department to do anything. They are acting on their own initiative.
Oh, fantastic. But as we move forward and kind of wrap our head around the situation, I sure am so thankful that we were able to talk today about this. And this is Ron Belter, General Manager. I'm speaking with Archbishop Achen, the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Seattle. And we're talking about the seal of confession and the mandatory reporters and the exemptions for those confessions that take place, which is signed into law. So, Archbishop, thank you for taking the time with us today. As we move forward, what can the listener and the parishioners out there be doing in support of this?
Well, the first thing that I want our Catholic listeners to know is that in the state of Washington, and I know this because I've spoken with Bishop Daley and Bishop Tyson and my auxiliary bishops here, the Catholic people can continue to put their trust in the sacredness and the confidentiality of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And our priests have told us they will go to jail before they violate the seal. So that's the first thing. And I want the people to also know that the church is committed to the protection of minors from abuse. We are committed to creating safe environments. We are committed to reporting accusations and information when we become aware of it to the legitimate and local law enforcement agencies. Priests should not have to choose between the law of the state and the law of the church. And it's now upon the burden of the governor and the legislature to get this thing right. And the people should pray for that.
Okay, prayer indeed. Everybody, you heard the message out there. Pray for this. Thank you for bringing up Bishop Daley and Bishop Tyson. It is a blessing to have three bishops in the Archdiocese and the auxiliaries as well, showing a sense of solidarity, standing behind this critical piece of law and offering some pushback to this. Do you see that perhaps the removal of face-to-face confession could be a temporary band-aid to this?
Oh, I think some of our priests are already moving in that direction. I'm consulting my priests at the moment with the help of my deans to hear from them what they would find helpful in terms of practical recommendations for me as the Archbishop of this archdiocese. So I've let them know that within the next month or so, before this law might take effect, that we'll be giving them some practical guidance in that regard. But I just want people to also know that, you know, we are exploring our legal options at the moment with regards to a legal challenge to this. So I don't think the final word has been said yet on where we're headed.
And I think it was actually the new law is to take force later in July.
Correct.
Hopefully we can get some correction, clarification, fixing, helping in this regard by that time. Archbishop, I know your time is precious, short, and we are so grateful for you to be able to take this time to let your flock know of the situation at hand. Thank you very much for coming on today. Do you have any final comments as we kind of get close to wrapping it up here?
Well, just gratitude to you, Ron, for having this opportunity to talk about this sad new law and the opportunity to reassure all of our people that the seal of the sacrament remains sacred, secure, and confidential and protected in the state of Washington, and that we're going to do all that we can to push for a suppression or at least an amendment to this law in the future.
Oh, okay, great. As we go through this, I see many things unfolding, but it also brings us a sense of unity with other Catholics across the state. As we experience it, each one of us in our own diocese, we reflect on this, and I'm so thankful that all the bishops stand together. So thank you very much, Archbishop.
You're welcome. And I would conclude by saying too, Ron, that as I mentioned in my statement, because this is a violation of the First Amendment, all people of any faith should be alarmed that our state legislature and governor have passed such a law. Once the state intrudes into the practice of religion, where does it draw the line? What else will it try to manage or coerce or dictate? And that's the reason why this law cannot stand. It is an impingement on something that is sacred. And even the state needs to operate within legal boundaries for the common good of all.
Amen.
And that'll have to be the last word. I got to run.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Archbishop Aitchen from the Archdiocese of Seattle to discuss this recent bill signed into law, which threatens the seal of confession and the First Amendment rights. Archbishop, thank you once again.
Thanks, Ron. God bless you and all your listeners.